and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
All right, let the mocking begin. Oh, come on. Y'all are being mean on the Twitter machine.
Marco Rubio may have sucked, but at least he swallowed.
Hey. Oh, come on, kids. We're talking about water. Everybody grow up.
He became his own drinking game last night.
Hi.
And another thing about the president.
Where was I?
Oh, yeah.
That's Paul Ryan's...
We now, the Stephanie Miller players, now present a meeting between John Boehner and Marco Rubio.
You know what's wrong with your species?
Okay, thanks. Yeah, Boehner was drinking, I'm telling you, bourbon and Coke.
That was a little cocktail shaker set
right
in front of him.
Right.
Did you see that?
Right.
That silver set? Whatever that was.
And I bet you that was vodka in that Poland Spring bottle. They are just not winning in the arena of ideas.
You know what they make in Poland? Vodka.
Vodka,
mm-hmm,
yes.
Mm-hmm. Just saying. That was like glug, 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 glug. All night long. I've never seen that. Have you ever seen the Speaker or the Vice President drink brown-colored liquid during it? Okay.
Interesting.
Funny that.
Well, maybe it was just reflecting his skin off of the glass.
Maybe it was water, and it just
appeared brown.
Right. Is he drinking Tang? Oh, I see. It's reflecting.
He's drinking Cheeto juice.
He's drinking bronzer that he sweated into his glass because he's so nervous. Because the president's ideas are so popular and his aren't. Okay. Mike in Austin writes, "Hi, Mama. Wow, I haven't seen anyone reach for a drink of water that nervously since Tom Cruise and A Few Good Men."
Yeah.
That was just weird.
That was weird.
Awkward.
Yeah.
And what, Rand Paul, what was that? They are just not good speakers. Not strong speakers, really.
No.
He's against that weird high school play
backdrop.
Tea Party response.
The rebuttal
to the Republican Party.
And he was lit terribly.
Right. Well, is there a good way to like
Rand Paul? I don't know.
All right.
Perhaps he had some bad turkey?
Turkey? What's happened to you? Okay, we have a bit. We are guested up on the on the post State of the Union show. Representative Maxine Waters, Representative Debbie
Turkey,
Senator Debbie Stabenow, Representative Judy Chu, David Schuster of Current TV, and sexy liberal Hal Sparks in hour number three.
Wow,
Hump Days with Hal.
So, how'd that happen?
Travis burning the midnight oil apparently. he said he did sneak in and spoon with me most of the night. Because we did a story yesterday about Hollywood personal assistants and some celebrities forced their assistants to sleep with them because they're lonely.
Yeah.
I'm like, I wish I had, and I hadn't thought of that. And so I ordered Travis to my house to spoon last night.
Do you remember it?
No, I was drunk.
Drunk.
Okay. All right.
Does midnight oil go well with flirtinis?
I had to give him enough flirtinis to want to sleep with me.
Well, there's that.
All right, there's that.
Well, if you're going to work in the blue sky mine, you're going to need some flirtinis.
Right.
Sure. I see what you did there.
See?
Mm-hmm. You didn't get it.
I know.
No.
Okay. Woo! Right up on my head. Okay.
It was a 90s college rock reference.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I didn't get it, so I just started drinking.
Okay.
I think, you know what it was? It was not only how long it took, but he just said he was nervously looking at frame. Like he was...
Yeah.
Just like no one would notice. I love that he thought if he kept eye contact with the camera, no one would notice. It would just be... I don't know.
Just done the Michelle Bachmann thing off to the side.
Right.
What? That's how you do it.
And the camera kind of awkwardly followed him as he went down and came back up again.
The camera was probably
what the hell are you doing?
Going? This is live. What? No.
There are no cuts here.
Hilarious. I think I'm going to do that all morning just to see if I can freak out Kelby in the current room. Yeah. I'm just going to duck out of frame.
It's hilarious. You got to continue.
Try to follow me, Kelby. Here I go. Okay. Yeah, I can't watch it enough. They have it, you know, somebody does did it on a loop. On the,
that's a GIF.
You can see it on an endless loop.
Yeah,
we can fix it in post, right?
What? Not live?
So huge majorities loved the president's speech. Loved it. Mm-hmm. You know what? I'm done watching punditry because I watch it and I go, it's a home run.
Yeah.
And then all the pundits, oh, I those missed opportunities. Oh, I missed opportunities. To reach out that. Enough and he didn't say, oh, so I didn't do anything.
He reached out, but he didn't reach out.
Right.
So.
Right. Okay. So, yeah, huge majorities that were polled thought the speech was, I mean, it's hard to top for emotional content. The gun, that whole segment with the victims when he was talking about gun violence. And by the way, I didn't see Ted Nugent. Did you?
Ted Nugent was there. Yes.
Yeah.
I saw a screen cap of him. Somewhere.
Really?
Yeah. He looked completely disinterested.
Was he wearing the doofy hat?
No, he wasn't wearing a hat.
Really?
Yeah.
So the Secret Service.
He actually had on
him?
A blazer and then, you know, a shirt that didn't have a tie on it, but it was, you know, unbuttoned.
Right. Why would you wear a tie? It's only the President of the United
exactly.
States. Why would you show any sort of decorum, respect,
right.
anything like that? Okay.
You want decorum? I didn't crap my pants for once.
That's true. He did not crap it, as far as we know. That's for him, decorum.
Did we check his seat afterwards? Just to double check?
He didn't make a duty in his pants.
As far
as
we know.
For him, that passes for respect.
Okay. Well,
I went in the toity before I came. All right. Jim, what did you think of the speech? I thought it was...
That was great.
Yeah. I mean, I really... And I thought, like, it had all those Obama moments, that humor, mm-hmm. you know. I know you like going to the ribbon cuttings.
Yeah. That was funny.
He even got a little orange chuckle from Boner behind him.
Yeah.
You didn't see that.
I'm always struck, though, by all of the stuff the president talks about, by large majorities. The American people are for all of them, and it's just... It's hard to decipher the look on Boner's face when you just go, and we can't have that because of you.
Yeah.
Because of you and your stupid, uncontrollable caucus. Like and he doesn't do the applause, and you're like, what are you applauding? You're going to block that.
Right.
What are you talking about, oh, yes, that's a good idea, but we can't do that. No.
In theory, it's a great idea, but actual practice. Where was I? Oh, yeah. Bitters.
It was perfect. It really was its own drinking game, both of them.
Yeah.
Boner and Rubio. That tells you where they're at. I thought it made me feel better about my drinking solution. Right. I was at home watching.
Texting with your thruple, I'm sure.
Exactly. Exactly.
Who are also drinking.
Actually, Melissa Fitzgerald emailed Jackie and I at, like, really late last night. And you know my insomnia.
Right.
I have the thing where I wake up.
Sure.
And so I was like, awesome, who's up? Who wants to talk about Rubio? She's like, me. So we talked at, like, I don't know, midnight or something. And, yeah, we got to do a post-State of the Union because I was up. I'm like, who's up?
So glad you didn't text me.
I know better. I know better. And Jackie was sleeping like a normal person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, but I did get up at 2 this morning to get sound bites and
but
stuff
that's
like
how,
that.
Well,
so,
you know which are your political geek friends. You're
course.
Like, they cannot wait till morning to talk
if someone
about
had,
Rubio.
Had texted me, I think, what's that noise?
Yeah.
What's going on? All right.
Is that the smoke alarm trying to go off?
Do I need to change the batteries?
Oh, what? Speaking of which, so that was the other huge breaking story.
Oh, good
right,
Lord.
Yes. We don't know. They haven't identified whether it was
right.
Warner or not in the...
In the cabin?
In the cabin in Big Bear.
Yeah.
The burned cabin.
CNN went with it up until about 10 minutes before the State of the Union.
I know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think everybody did.
Okay.
I think it was Colonel Mustard in the pantry.
You think so?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. If it's not him, then it's a real...
Yeah.
Then it's like The Fugitive or something. It's
oh,
turned into
God,
a movie.
Oh, dear God, it must be him.
Yeah.
And Anderson Cooper was interviewing the guy who owned the cabin, you know, just who had, you know,
right.
rents it out. And he was like, that's my cabin.
That's
it's,
my, what?
It's no, burning.
Okay. Yeah, that's not important right now.
But he doesn't think there's anybody in there. Right? So what? Listen. Was he rent? But was it rented out at the time? Or
no, it wasn't rented out at the
so
time.
So we don't think there was any hostage or anybody else that it could be the
no,
remains of.
No. Apparently there were two hostages that got away.
Mm.
Right. Yeah, that he tied up.
That he had tied up, but they got away.
They took their car.
So, yeah. But
yeah.
A friend of mine has a cabin up in Big Bear. And I said, so do you have any house guests?
Yeah.
Something going on?
Last time it was a big fire, you know, here. I was close enough to my house that I was watching TV going, is that, that's my house? What? That's almost my house. I know. All right. So, yeah, lots to talk about.
Yep.
Some crunchy audio goodness from last
Already, time. We have brought home 33,000 of our brave servicemen and women. This spring, our forces will move into a support role while Afghan security forces take the lead. Tonight, I can announce that over the next year, another 34,000 American troops will come home from Afghanistan. This drawdown will continue, and by the end of next year, our war in Afghanistan will be over.
Wow.
Hooray.
You say that like it's a good thing.
Oh, no, that's going to be popular. Okay, Josh in Memphis, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show on Poor Marco. Hello, Josh.
How you doing, Miss Stephanie?
Good.
I'd just like to say I don't really think it's fair if we make fun of Paul Ryan or Marco Rubio for the water thing. I mean, how else are they supposed to keep their souls from catching on fire?
That is true.
Josh, you know, you are a scamp.
Okay, that was very funny.
I forgot about Paul Ryan was very drinky, too, during the, it was the debates, right?
Yes,
very
he was.
Very drinky, very nervous. Did you see Eddie sitting there? He always just is in a permanent snit. During the State of the Unions, he just says that. Aren't those some wonderful ideas, Eddie? What do you think?
Isn't that wonderful, Eddie? I won't go! I won't!
I'm going to go along with it. I'm not.
You can't meet me. You can't.
But he showed up anyway.
I'm not.
All right. So lots to talk about. Your reviews and ours of the State of the Union last night. 17 minutes after the hour. Kind of funny. I was thinking about.
What?
That you know how we do, Marco.
Rubio.
It's a pool game and
yeah. Water.
Sang.
Oh, water.
Water game.
Uh-huh. Okay, you're right.
Great back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Getting some water wings.
Finally, talk radio you can dance to. It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the I get it. I see what you're going to do all morning.
Uh-huh.
Subtly mocking Marco Rubio. Subtlety, our strong suit here. 22 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12. The phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Well, looky here. Instapoll, 73% approval of the president's speech in the CNN poll. What is this one? CBS. 83% of viewers approved of the president's remarks. One of the funniest lines I've seen thus far, Marco Rubio, the most ill-advised drink of liquid since Socrates took hemlock.
Oh, that's funny. Wow.
I'm guessing he's thinking, maybe I should have waited just a skosh. That speech was less than 10 minutes.
But he started, like, rubbing his mouth and...
Yeah, he was sweaty. He was, yeah. He was nervous. It was hilarious.
So, well, I was going to say, I got to go to the bathroom.
Oh, that would have been funny if we would have left to go to the bathroom.
Christine Lottie moment.
Yeah.
Exactly. Excuse me, I've drank too much water. Could you say, wait a minute. They just put color bars.
Yeah.
Doot. He'll be right back.
Test pattern.
Hilarious. Actually, the ideas in the speech were pretty much a test pattern.
Well, they were.
Pretty much. Nothing. Got nothing there. Okay. The president, meanwhile, I thought, knocking it out of the park.
Defending our freedom, though, is not just the job of our military alone. We must all do our part to make sure our God-given rights are protected here at home. That includes one of the most fundamental rights of a democracy, the right to vote.
Yep.
Okay. Tara in California. Hi, Tara. Welcome.
Hi.
Hello.
I called you last week, but we got cut off in the middle because my phone dropped the call.
Oh, all right. Go ahead.
Well, the other night I was watching Viewpoint with John Fugelsang, and somebody came on and offered a definition of fascism that strikes me as where the Republican Party is currently today, in which they don't care so much about representing the people, but they would care about representing business and feel like business should be able to make our political decisions for us.
Let me just
and
say,
according to what
they're closer to fascism than we are to socialism.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
We are, yes.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right.
And
go ahead.
Oh, I just wanted to say that as I said, I agree with you entirely. They're way closer to fascism than we are to socialism.
Yeah, well, that's the thing is this is literally when, you know, it's Bob Dole's health care plan when, you know, his idea on nukes mm-hmm. is, you know, not as radical as Reagan's, when the president's position on immigration, not as radical as Reagan's. That's what I mean. This is like Jim says over and over again. This is he's a centrist Democrat or a Republican, essentially, if you look historically.
Well, he's an Eisenhower Republican.
Right. I was just going to say. I was going to go to the Eisenhower, too.
Oh.
I collided with you. George in Miami. Hello, George.
Hello, Stephanie.
Hello.
When are you coming back to Miami?
I would love to come back to Miami.
All right. You better come back to Miami. Oh. What I have to say is Rubio's in my state.
Right.
And I watched him last night, and it's like he stood behind a donkey and got a load of jackass.
Yeah, man.
I can't believe it. It's like the boy was saying, well, maybe if I drink a glass of water, they won't see me. I mean, what an idiot Republican. I mean, I love America. America is a great country. But I didn't know you people have so much stupid Republicans here.
You know what I think? I was a ventriloquist ass. He didn't want us to notice that it's Rush Limbaugh's voice that's actually coming out. Same.
And why was the water so far away from him?
That's what I don't get. Just simple things.
Well, I mean,
okay, it's okay if you take a drink, but why did you put it way over there?
Yeah.
Do you want a leader like that? Not very much planning.
And also, oh, just a minute. I got it.
He's going to be president? Oh, it's time to hit the nuclear button. Where did I put it? Oh, it's
and
over,
in addition, it's over there.
Oh, too late.
Let me walk across the room. And
too late. The USA is blown up. Because I forget. Okay.
Where did I leave my water?
Where the hell did I? What? Okay.
What? Where is it?
Paul in Omaha, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Paul.
Good morning, Mama. Good morning, Mook.
Good morning.
I saw Marco Rubio taking that Poland Springs, and it occurred to me. You know who else wanted Poland Springs?
Hitler.
Hitler. That's right. Thank you, Paul.
I came here for the waters.
There are no waters here.
I was misinformed.
So he takes Poland.
Marco Rubio misplaces Poland Spring.
Yep.
Hitler says that Poland misplaced their weapons of mass, whatever, that they didn't have.
Ooh.
Whatever. Okay.
Oh, that was clunky.
That was clunky. Brian in Charlotte. Hello, Brian.
Hey, I haven't listened live in a long time. I just wanted to let you guys know you're great as usual.
Thank you.
The reason why Rubio and before him Paul Ryan both had to drink that water nervously is because they know that they're getting fact checked into oblivion.
Right.
And when you don't believe,
no, it's, I mean it's true. You go, I get nerves, but you're congressmen, you and senators, you speak for a living. I think you're right. If you lack confidence in what you're saying or your ideas, I think they see the same polls we do, Brian. They're on the wrong side of every issue.
Exactly. And Paul Ryan was afraid he was going to get fact checked in real time by Joe Biden. And now this guy, because he's a rising star, he's thinking about every word he's saying, and he knows that everything he's saying is going to get fact checked in the media the very next day. That's why they're so nervous about their ideas.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So, exactly.
And also, right-wing pundits are now blaming, oh, he was under the lights and he's not used to that. You know
sure.
what? We're under these lights for three solid hours.
And he's in Florida. He's used to heat.
Yeah. Well, he spoke for 10 minutes and he couldn't speak for 10 minutes without drinking a glass of water.
He's on TV every other...
Right.
Okay. Please, leave him alone. You bastards are lucky. He even performs for you.
And performs and performs.
Leave her alone! You're lucky she even performed for you, bastard!
Oh. Somebody in Kentucky whose name is not on the screen now. Hello?
Hey, this is Mike.
Hi, Mike.
Hey, Mike, go ahead.
Well, I like the president's speech for the most part, but he didn't mention the unions. I'm in the Plumbers and Pipefitters Union. We were the first union to ever endorse Barack Obama.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's just like, we're just as much under attack as women's vaginas.
Yeah. Yes. Listen, we are in this together, you and I. I tell
yes,
you what.
Yes, we are. Hey, I got five sisters. I'm a baby brother.
Yes.
And I believe in women's rights and equal pay and everything.
Thank you.
Because my mom was a beautiful woman.
Aw, if you protect my vagina, I'll protect your pipe fitting.
Okay.
All right, awesome. Deal. 29 minutes after the hour, Representative Maxine Waters next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
I have a working knowledge of the entire universe and everything it contains.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 34 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number toll-free from anywhere. Not the manhunt for the cop killer, not the State of the Union, the big story. Look who won Westminster, Banana Joe! Banana Joe's an Athen pincher. What is that?
A what?
Is that
a thing?
He's so handsome, though.
Is that a thing?
Uh-huh. It's a little black dog with a big puffy face.
An eight pincher? Athen? Eight, how does it spell?
A-F-F-E-N.
Yeah, it means ape. In German.
Oh, as in right. Monkey?
Good. Yeah. Okay, then.
Okay.
Perfect. All right.
What does pincher mean in German?
Pincher.
No.
Don't pincher.
That I'm not sure about.
Okay.
1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll-free.
Type of dog.
From anywhere.
Not type of dong. Type of dog.
President.
Wow.
Okay, the president from last night.
When any American, no matter where they live or what their party, are denied that right, because they can't afford to wait for 5 or 6 or 7 hours just to cast their ballot, we are betraying our ideals. So tonight I'm announcing a nonpartisan commission to improve the voting experience in America. And it definitely needs improvement.
Any camera shots of Marco Rubio? Talking about the voting lines in Florida.
Give me another case of water.
Daniel in Atlanta, here on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Dan.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I just watched Marco Rubio's performance last night.
Yes.
And the entire time I watched him, he looked like a combination of Herman Cain and Mitt Romney.
Just...
At some point, all I could hear was Charlie Brown's school teacher.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Apparently they had there was a meeting of Republicans that he stopped in. Oh, and they were talking about immigration.
Right.
And I guess he stopped in and they asked him if he was nervous about last night.
Oh.
No. Why, do I look nervous?
Why would I be nervous? That's crazy.
I'm not nervous. You're nervous.
I'm not defensive. You're the one who's defensive.
Carla.
It's not him. It's me. No, it's not me. I don't know what I'm saying.
Carla in Ann Arbor, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Carla.
Hi, Stephanie. Good morning.
Good morning.
I thought the president nailed it.
Yeah.
But, you know, I love the part about the voting, but the end was just brought tears to my eyes because, I mean, how much enough is enough with this gun violence, my God.
Yep.
But being from Michigan, let me first apologize for Ted Nugent because I realize he's from Michigan.
Yes.
And I am so sorry for that. But I want to thank Current TV for not giving him one photo opportunity last night. I was so glad that we didn't see not one photo.
Yeah, I was. I think a lot of the networks I was watching didn't really, I think, ignored it because I thought it was going to be a lot of press that will distract. And I think you're right. I think people decided to ignore him.
Yeah, but the president nailed it. He just hit it off the park.
Yep,
he did.
Absolutely. Thank you, honey. Yeah, it was interesting. We had some different takes yesterday on people saying whether it was appropriate or not for him to be there. The director of Mayors Against Illegal Guns said, if there's better evidence that the NRA's Washington lobbyists have lost their way, I can't think of it. They keep finding new ways to alienate their own members, which is a strange way to run a membership organization.
Yeah.
So they were glad. They were saying, you know, gun advocates were saying, good, this is the best news we've had all week. Another said, you're going to have a guy who recently threatened the life of the president opposite over 20 survivors from some of our nation's most gruesome episodes of gun violence. It's heartless. It's emblematic of just how radical the Republican Party has become on this issue. And some people were saying that yesterday. Like, good, you know, let them put his face out there as their, you know, their representative, right? Oh, here's the thing. Marco Rubio dropped by the meeting of House Republicans yesterday and said, I didn't mean to interrupt, as he looked for a cup of coffee.
Nah.
Oh, he was nervous all day, just constant
just
liquids.
Looking for liquids.
When asked if he was feeling any pressure tonight, he gave a big smile and said, no.
No, why would he be feeling pressure?
Where's the coffee? Hydrate.
Well, you don't hydrate with coffee.
No, caffeine sucks the water right out of you.
Exactly.
Oh, boy.
You might want to try either a wine hat or like a Camelback next time
if
he gives a speech.
That would
just
help.
Having, he can, right?
Yeah.
With some little tube.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm reading about Banana Joe.
Yes.
That's why they call it an Uffin Pincher. Banana Joe with a charming monkey-like face,
right.
He does, and the habit of barking so powerfully he almost knocks himself over. He was recognized by judges for his humor and spirit.
Oh, and also I noticed
and
that
he looks like a monkey.
manhood is quite large. Same comparatively.
Why are you looking at
well,
that?
It's a very small dog, and you're like, wow, he is well hung for a little tiny dog.
It's weird.
Well, it's look at the picture. It's hard not to notice.
Oh, my God.
I'm just saying, for his tiny dog, he's all...
And you're fixating on doggy penises.
Right? Okay. Hi, Cindy. Good morning.
Right. Hi, Stephanie. It's been a long time since I called.
See Cindy handsome and romantic, and I point out the romantic part of him. Okay.
Well, I think about you every day. I've had a lot of stuff I have to do in Boston. I always pass by the Wilbur, and I'm like, when will Stephanie come back?
Oh, please. Are you saying please come to Boston?
Yes.
Right.
Yes. Well, I would see. That was my idea, actually, for that bit. Anyway, when I was listening to Marco Rubio, I started to flash back to the progressive. I think it's the progressive ad with Flo, where the guy from the other competing insurance agency, his pants catch on fire.
Yes.
And then he says,
right.
"No más pantalones."
Yes, I know that
and
guy.
And then he took
Brad
a drink
McConnell.
Of water, which was like the killer after that image in my head.
Yeah, exactly.
No más pantalones.
That was Brad McDonald. He's with my agency.
Oh,
very nice guy.
Okay.
Ad-libbed.
Did Marco Rubio say that in his Spanish version?
It's like a sauna in here.
Did he say that? Did anyone watch the Spanish version?
No más pantalones.
No más pantalones.
They are in fuego. Don't they está agua? Okay. Let's go to Gina in Massachusetts. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Gina. Hello, Gina. Hello, Gina.
Gina.
Hello, Gina. Oh, she's missed her big chance. Sue in Rockford, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Sue. Hello, Sue.
Huh? Hi. Oh, I heard a different name. I got confused. Wait a minute.
Right.
I'm sorry. I needed a sip of water. Hold on. I don't understand why you guys don't get it. They're drinking Kool-Aid.
Ah, nice. Of course.
You see there, it's the clear Kool-Aid. Okay. All right.
It's Poland flavor.
Yeah.
Tastes like Poland. Mm. Greg in Minneapolis, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Greg.
Hi there. Am I talking loud enough?
Yes.
Okay, good. I just heard on the Fox Network a new name for people that are my age. I'm going to be 64 in March. And we're now the entitlement generation.
Huh. Oh, see what you did there? You're a taker.
I know. Wow. I've only been putting money into the Treasury for 40 years.
Which is why you're a taker.
Right. Take.
How dare you? Know. I don't deserve anything back.
How dare you pay your way?
How dare you? Now you feel entitled to it back. Moocher. Jen in the UK, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Jen.
Hi, Steph. Hi. I'm calling from London.
Wow. London calling.
London calling.
Yes, go ahead.
I still listen to you on Ustream every day. So I just want to say I'm half Irish, half Cuban. I was born and raised in Miami. And, you know, Marco Rubio does not represent all Latinos, but nor does he represent all Cuban Americans. A lot of Cubans are now voting Democrat. So, I mean, he was just... A lot of the things he said today was so...
He does represent people that are really, really thirsty, though, Jen. And
that's he does.
People that are dehydrated are... Yes, that,
yeah.
Yes, that's like
his constituency.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. Thank you, honey. Yeah, a lot of Hollywood celebrities may, you know, throw their support behind him because every other day somebody is...
Lindsay Lohan
dehydrated,
is dehydrated.
Dehydrated
every
exhausted.
Other day. Yeah.
Okay.
Marco Rubio to the rescue.
Well, you sweat a lot in Miami, so you need to replenish.
Sure. I'm Marco Rubio for Pedialyte. Okay, Mike in Brooklyn, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Mike.
Hi, I've been trying to get through to you for about a month.
Oh, my God. I'm playing hard to get. I knew you'd fall for it.
Well, what can I tell you?
We've been trying to get through here for years.
Yeah, but I was really curious about the NRA not wanting this list of universal registrations. Because the NRA has it, and the NRA, that's the way they bug us to join them. Mm-hmm. I used to be a gun owner when I was in San Francisco, left my gun in California,
and
I
have
been getting so much stuff from them, it's incredible.
Hmm.
So it's telling me that they know each and every one of the gun owners in this country.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I don't understand what they're against.
Yeah, they wouldn't want us to know that's exactly what we'd be expecting, so we'd have some sort of, All right, the president last night.
We should follow the example of a North Miami woman named Desaline Victor. When Desaline arrived at her polling place, she was told the wait to vote might be 6 hours. And as time ticked by, her concern was not with her tired body or aching feet, but whether folks like her would get to have their say. And hour after hour, a throng of people stayed in line to support her. because Desaline is 102 years old. And they erupted in cheers when she finally put on a sticker that read, "I voted."
I love that she was right there.
Yeah. I mean, that is an incredible story.
Yeah.
Donna in Naples, Florida. Hello, Donna.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hi.
I just have to bring up one thing. Our president gets up there and gives a very positive speech, and he's just so wonderful. Right. And then you get Marco Rubio up there, like every other Republican, blaming the president, blaming the Democrats, and making the most negative speech I've ever seen, sweating like a pig, dry mouth, and then he did that little dance. It was hilarious.
Yeah, it really was. No, and I'm tired of that. You know, Donna, I almost like the punditry, you can almost like, you don't even have to wait for it. You know what they're going to say. Oh, it was a liberal laundry list. It was the most divisive speech since his inaugural address, and he's not reaching out. It's like, these are the ideas, again, he ran and won on. Right, Donna? I mean, these are...
Is it so sad? I mean, really?
Yeah, I mean, and he was reaching out. He said, "Let's do this together." I don't know how else you can make it any clearer. You know, he used humor. He used. I thought it was powerful.
Mm-hmm.
All right, 45 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call the political party line now. 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
Jerry Ramone had the same birthday as me.
Trotting Marco Rubio out on all the morning shows with the prop humor.
Yep.
Because a panic consultant told him to. Make fun of it! Make fun of it! Make sure you have a sense of humor about the disaster.
At least pretend to have one.
Right. All right. 50 minutes after the hour, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. Damien in Johnstown, Pennsylvania says, Steph, ironic, isn't it, for a person in a party so anti-immigrant, Marco Rubio certainly could have used a Girl from Ipanema song during his
game. Yeah.
Oh, please.
Please stand by.
All right. Susan in Knoxville, Tennessee.
Technical doofusness.
Susan in Knoxville about Marco's big gulp. Hey, Steph, poor Howard Dean was mocked endlessly with the Dean screams. Can we call this Marco's Waterloo?
Hey! Hey.
It is Waterloo!
Well, lies do have a dehydrating effect.
There you go.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's go to Terrell in South Dakota. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Terrell.
Hi.
Hi, go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to ask, why was Boehner looking so mad last night?
He
just wanted to go up there and just slap her behind the neck to say, shut up.
Yeah, he always looks dissatisfied. Yeah. That's why he was drinking.
Spoiler, President.
Prove to me it wasn't bourbon and Coke. Julian Seattle said that looked like tavern takeout is what he was thinking
there. Yeah.
Tavern! Oh, my God. You know what? If you can't be in the tavern, bring the tavern to you.
Sure.
He brought the tavern to the State of the Union, and why not? All right. Jackie was asking yesterday, what's our drinking game? They were a drinking
mm-hmm.
game.
They drank for us.
Right, exactly. All right, let's dive into the right-wing world and see what... Are there some Marco Rubio apologists? Charles Krauthammer.
Oh, boy.
Okay.
So much of it is the setting, as you said.
Mm-hmm.
You know, RNC, you've got a crowd that applauds you, is behind you, lifts you.
It's a damn setting.
Present at the podium. He's almost a monarchical. And here you are in a room, you know, hot cameras and all that, looking for a glass of water. It doesn't work. It works against everybody, and I think it's a really hard job. I think it was an excellent speech, but it's a tough spot.
There's no law that says he needs to be in a room by himself. He can have an audience if he wants.
Because as president, you know, there was no lights, a camera on his speech.
No.
It was totally different.
A million people looking at him.
Okay.
God,
all right.
He looked like such a doofus. Well, everyone looks like a doofus compared to the president. But
yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
He's not a strong speaker.
Compare and contrast.
He's not a strong speaker or swimmer.
Yeah.
He almost drowned himself in that glass of water. Okay.
Rubio.
But Sean Hannity, who I think writes his response before the speeches.
Yeah.
It's always
the
best speech.
You could totally tell that.
Best speech ever.
I think the big story of the night's going to be Marco Rubio's response. I thought that was the best response to a State of the Union address that I'd ever seen. And very different competing visions. The people like, overwhelmingly, Marco Rubio's vision for the future of the country versus Barack Obama's.
What? You know what? You got to give it to him. It's hard to be that wrong without Dick Morris by your side.
I guess.
Marco Rubio's going to win in a landslide.
He's continuing the
or
tradition.
Or at least a water slide.
I think it's going to be the big story. Oh, you're right. It was the big story of the night, but not because it was good.
Oh, yeah. He totally wrote that line before.
Yes.
Before
oh, it was the best speech.
Best speech ever.
Ever. Okay. I did posit that perhaps it was a ventriloquist act so that, you know, you would know that it was Rush Limbaugh's voice coming out.
Yeah. No.
You've got an artificial, a fake presidency, a fake regime. It's built on fake promises, fake results.
Yeah.
Right. They fixed the debt problem. That's fake. They created all these millions of jobs. That's fake. They're faking everything here. Nothing is real. And at some point, that kind of fakery ends up being exposed.
Yeah, you should know.
Wow. He's still with that? The CBO is fake, or what do you call it? They're faking the job numbers?
He's still with that. Yeah.
I think he was.
Every month he says
that. He was imitating your Dodge Dart starting up in winter.
Right? Every once in a while, the real characters do us the favor of doing Jim's impression of them.
Yeah.
And they haven't been.
They become the, what do you call it, the Steve Carell character in Bruce Almighty. Right. I was saying, if you listen to Rush as much as I do, he starts to sound like that eventually. Mark Levin.
What the hell does the Democrat Party stand for today? The destruction of America?
Okay.
And what the hell does the Republican Party stand for today?
To
sit there with their thumbs in their mouths while it's going on? Any politician with an ounce of common sense should be getting on any soapbox imaginable and screaming from the top of their lungs.
You got that covered.
That these policies are destroying America.
Seriously.
That this president is destroying America.
Seriously.
Instead, the Republicans cower.
Does he really talk like that at that volume?
He
for
does.
3 hours
for
every day?
For 3 hours.
Bother giving me a microphone!
I mean, we can hear him all the way from New York. He really doesn't need a microphone.
Actually, he makes a fortune in lozenge endorsements. I don't know why. I'm so hoarse. I don't know what could it be.
Stephanie Miller. Mm-hmm. She's sarcastic and loud.
Mm-hmm. he agrees with Hal Sparks on that.
Yeah.
They are a bunch of thumbsuckers.
We'll have Hal do that in hour three.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
When he's here.
Amy Kramer.
Yeah.
She's from the Tea Party Express, please and
Express.
Thank you.
They're the fast Tea Party.
I think he should attend. And, you know,
no
he was invited there, and he said he's going to be respectful. I think we have to leave it at that. I mean, it's his
Let's
Congress.
Leave it
there. That's our house. All of them represent us there in Washington. And so I think he has every right to be there as long as he's respectful. You don't agree with everybody that's there. None of us do. So, I mean, any of us could go, and we're not going to agree with everybody that's there.
So the Tea Party Express, you can get from Broadway to Albany with no stops.
Right.
Apparently is what that
right.
is. Yeah.
Right. It's speed tea party.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's go to Raj in Los Angeles. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Raj.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hello.
There is a saying the country goes as California goes. Now, California, like economically, culturally, now politically, California is completely Democrat. They swept all the seats.
Right.
So that's where the country going. This is just the beginning. 2012 was just the beginning for the country to go like California.
Yep. There you go. So goes the nation, as goes California.
Sure.
Yeah. Okay. Rich in Illinois, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Rich.
Hello.
Hello.
Just wanted to say that I tuned in a little late last night, and I noticed a bunch of green ribbons on everybody's chest, and I said, oh, no, propaganda for the gun control crowd.
Yeah, but that's what you want to call support for the grieving families in Newtown. Yeah.
And right away, I Googled it, and sure enough, it was
human compassion. I know that's
That's hard. That's hard for you Republicans to understand.
I'll be pushing the for a green and white ribbon. From I'm going to email the NRA today and ask them to make a green and white, because I guess because you own a gun, you don't care about the deaths of innocent people to gun violence. It's ridiculous.
That's not
what does a green and white ribbon mean? I am confused.
It means innocent people. Gun owners are innocent people. who also
Oh, it's for sympathy for gun owners.
Okay, because gun owners have no sympathy. What's they? Yeah.
Right. Okay. Yeah. That's the real victims. The real victims are the gun owners. There are so many onerous regulations on them. It's hard to. Where do you even get a gun in America? Anyone has one?
So difficult.
Let's make a.
You got the money? Okay.
Make a
here.
That was kind of a douche. Okay, 15 minutes to the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller
Senator
Show.
Senator Debbie Stabenow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Post State of the Union, 6 minutes after the hour, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. Well, not only is she a fabulous senator, she's done many, many interviews with us and never once needed a water break. Senator Debbie Stabenow of the great state of Michigan joins us now. Good morning, Senator.
Good morning. How are you?
I am fine. We have missed you, and I saw you on the TV last night. I thought it was a great speech. What did you think?
Absolutely wonderful. I mean, it was very exciting to be there. A lot of energy in the room. Of course, he's talking about... making things in America, manufacturing. He's singing my song here about innovation and American manufacturing. So I love that part of it. But I thought it was a very hopeful, a very visionary speech.
Yeah, and honestly, you could even see it on TV, but I can't imagine being in the hall. All of the stuff about gun violence and the victims, it was so powerful. I can only imagine the energy in the room.
It was so powerful. Both, obviously, that's something we have to tackle. We have to come together and get something done on. I also thought the other piece that was so powerful was talking about voting and, having the 102-year-old woman who spent so much time in line trying to vote and having her there in the room was so powerful. What I thought was actually shocking to those of us who were there is that we had the leadership on the Republican side in the Senate did not stand up during the provision about making changes to make sure everybody can vote. And so that I don't know if you could see that on TV, but that was quite shocking.
Yeah, to say the least. I also thought, and you speak, Senator, about American jobs, as you do so eloquently, when he talked about infrastructure and about our crumbling bridges, I mean, it just seems like such a no-brainer, and yet half of the things the Republicans are clapping politely for, they're not going to vote for, right?
Right. Well, the unfortunate thing is we're having this debate in our country that's not being done anywhere else in the world about whether or not it's legitimate to have a public sector and whether or not we should work together. It should be all hands on deck time doing the things that are appropriate for the public sector, education, innovation, rebuilding America, unleashing the private sector entrepreneurship to create jobs. Every other country is using every resource, every tool that they have to beat us on the world stage, and we're stuck trying to debate whether or not it's in our interest to create jobs through modernizing our country's infrastructure. No, everybody else around the world looks at us and goes, you guys are really kind of crazy here that you're having this debate while they're running out and, China's building 20 new airports and big airports and, we've got all of these other things happening around the world to entice our businesses because of the newest and best infrastructure, including technology.
Well, I mean, and once again, we hear the same refrain. We have a spending problem. We have a spending problem. That's all they ever talk about.
Entitlements.
Right. When who is it? Cantor's on TV today, this morning, saying, the president didn't put forth any plan on the sequester. Yes, he did. He's been very clear on that, hasn't he?
He has been very clear. And, Stephanie, what we have is a governing problem in our country. We have attitude problem. We need people willing to sit down and work things out and make tough decisions. When we passed our five-year farm bill in the Senate last year, we looked at every page, decided what works, what doesn't. We actually eliminated 100 different things that either hadn't been used well, didn't work, eliminated a big government subsidies for ag. At the same time, and save $23 billion. At the same time, we refocus on the future with local food systems and farmers markets and, you know, the kinds of things we need to do in schools as well as supporting ag. But we did it by being very strategic, asking the right decisions, and then making some smart decisions. That's what we need to do. I also need to say this because it needs to be said every single day. The economists have told us we need to have $4 trillion in deficit reduction over the next 10 years to really turn the page. We have already agreed to $2.5 trillion in deficit reduction. 80% of that is on the spending side. The only thing that's been on the side of let's make the wealthy and the well-connected do their fair share was what we did at the end of the year. 80% has been spending. So when we go forward to the rest that needs to be done, we've got to make sure that the vulnerable families, seniors, middle class are not the ones asked to pay and to sacrifice one more time.
Well, and there's John Boehner yesterday accusing the president of not having the guts to cut spending, not having the courage to stand up to blah, 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 his base or whatever. And meanwhile, as we all know, it's Boehner that's walked away from any of these grand bargains, right, because he couldn't sell it to his own base.
Right. And there's been an unwillingness to work across the aisle, which you have to do. If he puts together a coalition of Democrats and Republicans, he can get done whatever he needs to get done. It's only when he lets the very, very extreme wing of his party control things that everything stops, because they're on a mission. They're on a mission to destroy government services. They believe that they want to shut things down. They believe there is no role for the public sector in a civilized society and a democracy, which, of course, makes no sense. Every other country in the world wants to be like us in terms of our, you know, economy, what we are doing, you know, the rule of law that we have so businesses can conduct business. You know, the air that we breathe, the water we drink, the food that we eat is all safer than other countries because we invest in basic things that affect the quality of our lives. And that's what we do together because it's tough to do by yourself. So that's the whole point, right, in a democracy. You want to unleash the private sector to go do what they do best. And then there's things that we do together, law enforcement, protecting air, water, education, something that we do together because everybody benefits and it's tough to do by yourself.
Senator Stabenow, you are working on another important issue because, once again, you know, whenever we have these gun debates, they, you know, literally say, well, it's mental health. We shouldn't touch guns. There's nothing we can do on guns. And yet they're the ones that want to, time after time, cut funding, right, for mental health services. So you were part of a bipartisan group of senators, right?
Yes.
Go ahead.
This is an issue I've worked on for a long time, actually, both when I was in the state government chairing the Mental Health Committee and as well as federally. And I think this is a real moment to get something done on a bipartisan basis. We need to treat mental health services as we do physical health. In other words, we need a continuum of care. We do that in health reform. Starting in January, I made sure that in health reform now, going forward, that mental health services, substance abuse services, will be covered the same under insurance as physical health. And there's a very good reason for that, because when you look at where we are, you know, if someone's a diabetic, nobody questions what happens if they're checking their sugar or they're taking insulin. But if you're bipolar and you have a chemical imbalance in the brain and you could take medication to be able to even out the chemicals and receive the therapy that you need, suddenly that becomes something very different that we don't understand. There's a stigma attached to it and so on. And what we're doing is working very hard to do away with the stigma, to have quality mental health services in the community that are funded, have the same access to funding sources as health centers. I'm so thrilled that folks from Silver Linings Playbook have gotten involved with us. Bradley Cooper did something with me. David O'Reilly Russell,
yeah,
whose son is bipolar, did something with us as well to lift this up.
The director of Silver Linings Playbook, right?
Yeah, the director. And what we want to do, bring this out of the shadows. This is something that touches every family, and whether it's physiological and it's in the brain, or whether it's your heart or kidneys or you're diabetic, we ought to be looking at all of these things as to how we can treat them so that people can manage it and go on and have healthy, successful lives.
Yeah, and Senator, as the president said last night, we cannot just cut our way to prosperity. And this is where the Republicans run into their own hypocrisy, don't they? They talk about, like, oh, it's not guns that's the problem, it's mental health, and yet they're the ones always cutting funding for mental health. They talk about, you know, they scream about Benghazi, and they're the ones that voted to cut funding for security. I mean, that's the problem,
right?
Is cutting is not always the answer.
Well, and it's about smart investments in our own families. You know, when we're in a tough financial time, you cut back where you can, and then you also say, well, this is too important. Sending the kids to college is too important. We're going to take out college loans. Or, you know, we really need a roof over our head, a house, so we're going to have a mortgage, which is a debt. Or we're going to put some money on a credit card because we have to make sure we can eat while we're going through this. So you make decisions, and businesses make decisions. They don't just cut. They cut back, but they don't cut everything. Otherwise, they lose their business. So you make strategic cuts in spending, and then you make strategic investments. You go get a loan to be able to expand or to create the new product, because you know in the long run that you will be more successful. So when they say run government like a business, I would love to run government like a business. No business would survive the way they are running this government.
Yeah, absolutely.
So let's, you know, this is about common sense, balance, you know, making tough decisions. There's a whole lot of things we could do on the tax code to take away special deals for the wealthy and the well-connected. There's a whole lot of, on the spending side, there's things we can continue to do. But let's be smart about it, and let's have the right values when we're doing it.
Yep, absolutely. Senator Stabenow, great stuff as always. Thanks for joining us on such an important day.
Wonderful to be with you. Take care and keep up the great work.
Thank you, Senator Debbie Stabenow of the great state of Michigan.
Yes.
Yeah, this is the perfect headline. This is what the president's up against. GOP backs path to citizenship unless Obama supports it.
Yeah, right.
This is what the punditry says. The president just needs to stay out of this. He needs to, because literally, when he says it...
Why would the president stay out of something?
Right.
Huh?
Right. New Washington Post poll finds that 70% of Americans say they support a path to citizenship for illegal immigrants, including 60% of Republicans. When the same question is asked in a separate sample, this time with Obama's name attached to it, support drops to 59% overall and just 39% among Republicans. Fits the Obama path to citizenship.
A path to what? That's crazy.
No. Unbelievable.
Yep.
All right, 18 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
There's something funny going on in talk radio. It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
Take a long, awkward drink of Poland Spring. 22 minutes after the hour of 1-800-STEP-1-2. The phone number toll-free from anywhere. Jim, who said I'm more concerned about Steve Stockman being here than Ted Nugent? Ted Nugent won't leave. Steve Stockman will still be here. Who said that?
Steve Stockman.
No.
Hitler.
Nancy Pelosi. Bring in the snark. Okay. Bring in the snark. About Congressman Stockman and his lovely and talented guest, Ted Nugent.
Yeah.
Okay. Tommy from Columbus says, things to do rather than watch Morning Joe. Number one, masturbate with sandpaper. Number two, a trip.
Oh.
A trip on the Carnival cruise line. Number three, clean the lint trap on the dryer, spread it on toast, and eat it. Morning Joe this morning, just before I turned him off. Barack Obama was not ready to be president, unlike Bill Clinton.
Huh?
As you recall, he tried to get impeached over the whole...
Right.
Yes, I highly recommend Bill Press if you're on the East Coast on the current television network. If you're on the West Coast, why then there's...
Stephanie Miller.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go to Charles in Chicago. Hi, Charles. Welcome.
Good morning. How are you, Mama?
Good. Go ahead, baby.
And Mooksy, you guys make my morning, I'll tell you that.
Thank you.
One thing I've noticed from being a little youngster to this full-blown adulthood is Republicans can't handle heat.
Yeah.
Nixon, he was sweating.
That's right.
Petey Ryan, he was drinking water.
And yeah, I totally had forgotten how drinky Paul Ryan was during the vice president, during his ass-kicking by Joe Biden. Yeah.
But here's what they should do. From now on, any major speech where they're getting so frustrated with the lies they tell and then the heat bothers their head so much, instead of little bottles of water, they should just have a bucket and a ladle. And every time they just stop, I got to have a drink of water. And just do it from there.
Right. I suggest a wine hat. Or as I said, you could fill it with water.
Yeah.
Or just a Camelback like runners use. You just have a tube going in all the time.
Or no. Rummers.
Right.
Rummers use it too.
Right. I was just talking about how literally there's polling that if the president is for a path to citizenship, Republicans are not for it.
Right.
Whatever it is, I'm against it.
In general, they're for it unless Obama says anything. Boner said yesterday, the thing I'm most concerned about immigration reform is the president getting in the way. Sometimes I think he'd rather have an issue than a solution. I hope the president will play a constructive role. As you recall, Senate Republicans filibustered the Dream Act. Remember, we couldn't even get that part done because, just FYI.
Wow.
Okay. Let's go to Linda in Cincinnati. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Linda.
Hi.
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 Go ahead.
I want to put all of your audience on notice that I'm here in Ohio. Boehner, we can't touch him because, unfortunately, we can't vote his ass out. But Kasich, and we sat on our hands here in Ohio in 2010. That's how this shit happened.
Oh, hello. Okay. Did you get that? She dropped an S-bomb.
Yeah,
okay.
Did you get that, Current TV?
All right. Best of luck to you. Ryan in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Ryan.
Hi. It's been a long time since I've called in. I want to thank you. I've been at home with the baby for the last year, so Current TV was on every morning, and I was enjoying you guys. Now I'm back to work, stuck in traffic in Chicago. Anyways, I think it was kind of funny last night how hypocritical Rubio was about government funding things, and then he goes on to talk about how his dad died with dignity because of Medicare, and his mom is getting care from Medicare. And how he was able to go to college. So it's just, it just speaks volumes to what the party's all about.
Yep, good point, right? I've heard a lot of people point that out. Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, you're sort of like, what? You just said government is hot, but you? That seems like a giant wheel of, here it is.
Wheel of right-wing hypocrites!
He's drinking so much to drown his hypocrisy.
Aww. Exactly.
Yeah, let's jump to some Marco Rubio audio goodness from last night. The part where he was not drinking. Here he is talking about government bad.
More government isn't going to help you get ahead. It's going to hold you back.
What?
Uh-huh. More government isn't going to create more opportunities. Yeah, it's going to limit them.
It's no, except for the government kind that helped me and my family.
Well, then he went on to say,
I believe in federal financial aid.
What? Huh?
I couldn't have gone to college without it.
What?
One of these programs is Medicare. It's especially important to me.
What a moocher.
It provided my father the care he needed to battle cancer and ultimately to die with dignity. Mm. And it pays for the care my mother receives right now.
Mm.
But government doesn't do anything.
Did taxpayers pay for that money? I hope you bought that bottle of Poland Spring yourself, big moocher.
Wow.
Gulper. Let's relive the moment, shall we?
In the short time that I've been here in Washington, nothing has frustrated me more than false choices like the one the president laid out tonight.
Did he go on to elaborate what the false choices are?
I love at the beginning of that, you can hear his cotton mouth.
Yeah.
Hold on, let me play that again.
I was wondering if you'd like to go to the prom with me.
The short time that I've been here in Washington, nothing has frustrated me more than false choices like the one the president laid out tonight.
I haven't been this thirsty since I was in Tel Aviv.
Tel Aviv?
Excuse me. All right.
Oh, Scott McLennan.
McClellan.
McClellan.
Right.
Oh, oops. Been so long.
David in Miami. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Dave.
Hi. My Latin friends in Miami have a new name for our friend Rubino. It's the water boy.
Yeah.
Forever be stuck with that name.
They could do a remake. It was an Adam Sandler film,
right? Yeah.
Yeah, you got to say, in Miami, most people don't like the dude at all. He's liked by the very old, rich establishment, not all Latin, just the power brokers.
Right.
And he, I mean, we know who he is. He's a fraud. And I think Waterboy, my friend Joe Ramirez, came up with that.
Yeah.
And that's the perfect name for him. It knocked me out, so
yep.
I had to call you.
All right. Thank you, baby. Appreciate it. All right, Representative Judy Chu of the great state of California, next on The Stephanie Miller Show. Universe is
Stephanie Miller.
Blonde.
Relax, no one's going to be looking at her hair.
Boy, I bet Hillary was sweating watching that Marco Rubio speech last night,
oh,
didn't
yeah.
she? Hello.
Turkey?
I'm Marco.
Water?
At least he can be president of Waterworld. If they keep it up on climate change. Perfect. He can be president of Waterworld.
What? Turkey?
All right. No, that's what she thought when she was watching Rand Paul, because his response was, she's like, oh, there he is again.
Turkey?
Uh-huh. All right, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere. Representative Judy Chu of the great state of California was there. She joins us now. Good morning, Congresswoman.
Good morning.
I thought it was a great speech. I'm looking at the, CBS poll. I haven't seen one like this in quite some time. 91% of those who watched the speech approved of the proposals the president put forth in his remarks.
That is incredible, but I was truly inspired. I thought that his emphasis on a thriving middle class was just what we need right now.
Yeah, CBS poll was the one I just looked at, and I thought, you know, the punditry you can also almost predict in advance. Someone was saying literally, oh, missed opportunities, nothing new, didn't specify, blah, 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 not in the... I often think, were they watching a different speech? And you were there, right? And you felt the same way as, I guess, 91% of the American people that watched it.
I thought that there were many new ideas that he presented. For instance, the $9 an hour minimum wage, that was incredible and yet a very important step forward so that people who are working hard aren't living in poverty.
Well, and I also, you know, when they talk about this constant, oh, the president doesn't reach out, he's not leading, and then they literally say that the president needs to stay out of the immigration debate, for instance. A listener wrote, Greg writes, because the best way for POTUS to lead is to stay out of the immigration debate. Like, which is it? Which is it? Is he not leading or is he too involved in these issues?
Well, I was so happy that he did emphasize comprehensive immigration reform. I think it's important for people in this country to hear from our highest ranking leader that immigration reform is important for this country to move forward.
Yep. And I honestly loved the infrastructure part. And he said, you know, I know you all love going to those ribbon cuttings. here's an idea, right?
Exactly. But I cheered when I heard that because it's through fixing our infrastructure that we get those good middle class jobs, plus our infrastructure needs it.
You know, absolutely. I mean, let's take a listen to that, because when he was talking about, I mean, when you listen to this and you go in the United States of America, listen to this.
The CEO of Siemens America, a company that brought hundreds of new jobs to North Carolina, said that if we upgrade our infrastructure, they'll bring even more jobs. And that's the attitude of a lot of companies all around the world. And I know you want these job creating projects in your district. I've seen all those ribbon cuttings. So, tonight, I propose a fix-it-first program to put people to work as soon as possible on our most urgent repairs, like the nearly 70,000 structurally deficient bridges across the country.
Makes total
in
sense.
America.
Called the Works Progress Administration.
Yeah, in America, Representative. And you know, and yet you know the Republicans will en masse vote against that. They'll say we have a spending problem, blah,
socialism.
Blah, blah. And as the president said, we cannot cut our way to prosperity, right?
We cannot do that. And, in fact, we have cut tremendously over the last couple of years. And we've done it responsibly. But we need a balanced budget. We need to make sure that there is revenue coming in as well.
I mean, I think this bears repeating again. I was looking at some statistics before the speech. Under President Obama, government spending has grown at its slowest pace since the Eisenhower administration, mm-hmm. right? The nation's deficits have shrunk by trillions of dollars. The debt is close to being stabilized as a percentage of the economy. In fact, spending cuts are holding back the economic recovery, as you just alluded to, Congresswoman. And again, he said, as Paul Krugman and others have said, austerity is the worst thing we can do right now, isn't it?
Well, we don't want to be like Greece. We don't want to have our economy grind to a halt. And in fact, that's what this sequester would do, these automatic spending cuts, and yet the Republicans are stubbornly holding on to that and even might let it pass.
Right. Right, and obviously it's still favored spending cuts over tax increases, what has already... So, I mean, I think the president is right last night when he once again said we need a balanced approach to doing this.
Yes, that's right. And it's a very, very important now, especially with this looming automatic cut.
Right, with the sequester. How do you feel like that? You know, that's going to play out now? Where it's here we are. It's upon us again, right? March 1st.
I'm very alarmed because it looks like the Republicans are going to let it pass. And this would mean a 30% drop in our GDP. That's how drastic it would be.
Yep. Obviously, the emotional highlight of the evening was, you know, this. He really was a very powerful statement on gun violence, not just the people that were there, but the way the president framed that issue. What do you think?
I was there on the floor, and I just couldn't believe the response. People were chanting, vote, vote, vote. We want to vote on these very common sense solutions to the terrible gun violence that is taking away the lives of our loved ones.
Well, and I thought it was such a powerful way, really, of calling out the Republicans, because I think that, you know, like you say, it's one of those things where the conventional wisdom is already, we can't get this done. And let's listen to that again.
Idea's parents, Nate and Cleo, are in this chamber tonight, along with more than two dozen Americans whose lives have been torn apart by gun violence. They deserve a vote. They deserve a vote. They deserve a vote. Gabby Giffords deserves a vote. The families of Newtown deserve a vote. The families of Aurora deserve a vote. The families of Oak Creek and Tucson and Blacksburg and the countless other communities left open by gun violence, they deserve a simple vote.
Well, it's the gun nuts who are the real victims here, according to that earlier caller.
Yeah, Representative. And then at the same time, we have this, you know, breaking news competing almost with the State of the Union, another gun violence story out here in our own state, right?
Exactly. What better argument for some common sense solutions than to look at what's happening with Dorner?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, and somebody made the point, Representative, that every you know, as the NRA would say, good guy with a gun is a good guy with a gun until they become a bad guy with a gun, right?
Exactly. And are we going to let unstable people have guns and shoot our young kids, 20 young children, gunned down? This has to end.
Well, I think that it couldn't have been worse timing. This, you heard of the story, this NRA lobbyist, that they, you know, this audio surfaced of him saying, well, we're going to get all, you know, this gun stuff is going to pass when we just have to get over this Connecticut effect. You know, that's how you refer mm-hmm. to 26-year-olds that are shot to death at close range and their families grieving. I mean, it's just...
And an outbreak of compassion. It must be stopped.
Right. Yeah. I mean, isn't that... Wasn't that just... Doesn't that sum everything up, the effect the gun lobby has had?
Just to pass it off with a phrase like that is just a fleeting fancy. That is horrible.
Yeah, I mean, it's just another bad day politically for them. They, you know, it's you know, they don't realize those parents will never have a good day again compared to the, you know, to them. And it just, and that's the thing, is that that's why it was so powerful last night. It was, I mean, to see your former colleague Gabby Giffords. I mean, it's hard to get more powerful than that.
Well, we were there on the floor, and we were surrounded up in the gallery by victims of gun violence. Mm-hmm. Of not just Gabby Giffords, which we all know was so tragic, but people from Newtown, people from Aurora, people from all across this country who have been tragic victims of gun violence.
Yeah. Well, do you have hope that anything is going to change, particularly after last night?
Yes, I do believe that on that issue that we can come to some resolution on this. Look, NRA members support a universal background check. And you don't need 30 rounds of bullets in a magazine in order to shoot a deer.
Yep. Yep, absolutely. Or perhaps hunting's not your thing. All right.
Right.
Yeah. Well, Representative Chu, thanks so much for joining us. It just was a great night and great to have your take as someone was there, and we appreciate talking to you.
Thank you so much.
Talk to you again soon. There she goes, Representative Judy Chu of the great state of California. All right. The president once again last night.
Tonight I'll lay out additional proposals that are fully paid for and fully consistent with the budget framework both parties agreed to just 18 months ago. Let me repeat. Nothing I'm proposing tonight should increase our deficit by a single dime. It is not a bigger government we need, but a smarter government that sets priorities and invests in broad-based growth.
The president's not doing too much, not enough.
He's leading too much and also concurrently not enough at the same time.
Oh,
also,
boy.
Too, in addition. Michelle in Baton Rouge, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Michelle.
Yes, good morning. As I told the gentleman, I just want to say, and I'm going to go slow, so please, if you have to play this over and over, the GOP is not stupid. As Obama said with the blue ribbon cutting, they was there to get it. They benefited off government. You know why they don't want it? Because his signature is on it, because he's the president. Let's just say for the sake of argument, Mitt Romney would have won, and he had a change of heart. If he had to go behind closed doors and told John Boehner, dumb tail, get with the Democrats, because I realize that everybody should have the proper amount of health care. I feel poor kids, and after looking into the situation, they deserve to eat. If Mitt Romney had won and had a change of heart, they'll vote for it.
I thought I mean, we were on the air during the Clinton presidency. I thought that was like Clinton derangement syndrome, but it was not like this. It was not this kind of obstructionism. 45 minutes after the hour, right back, more post-State of the Union commentary on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I got her number off the men's room stall. 1-800-STEP-12.
Yo, Stephanie Miller.
Water, Mr. Senator Rubio? 50 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Michael Tomosky in the Daily Beast said, that was, as I mentioned earlier, that was the most ill-advised drink of liquid since Socrates took hemlock. It will dominate commentary in late night, and it deserves to. Just Bush League, and the way he kept looking nervously at the camera. He comes across like the proverbial substitute teacher. You know you can throw spitballs in his class, and he's not going to have the authority to make you stop. It's true. Yesterday afternoon, Rubio was one of just 22 senators to vote against reauthorizing the Violence Against Women Act. Nice.
Wow.
Savior, he has a long way to go. Michael Tomosky in the Daily Beast. All right. Speaking of pundits, who we
for
love.
Current TV, our good friend David Schuster.
As if Tuesday isn't exciting enough, David Schuster is coming up.
Sure. He is the most interesting man in the world.
Good morning, most interesting.
Oh, good morning, Stephanie. It's great to be with you.
How are you, David Schuster? And I, once again, you've done many, many interviews. I've never heard gulping. I've never heard you furiously drinking water.
Well, you know, right now, and this is a record-setting interview for me because I'm on the train from D.C. to New York, and if I sound like I am in a closet, I am. I'm actually in the bathroom right now because I figured this would be the quietest place to talk to you. And we
closet.
Could have a little private time right now.
Wow.
This is very sexy. there's always one moment like that. I mean, the last time it was Michelle Bachmann looking off camera. That bizarre. And this, the Marco Rubio thing, but you just feel like it's emblematic of a party that is not confident in its ideas, right?
Yeah, and it wasn't just that, you know, he was thirsty. I mean, the guy looked like he was sweating so much. I mean, I haven't seen anybody that nervous for a major speech in a long time. And it was just, you know, you get the sense that the guy, that this really is a show, that they don't really necessarily believe what they're saying because he can't believe some of this stuff, but it's really simply an effort to try to come well to some of those voters in New Hampshire that he can be the next power broker of the Republican Party. But it was an odd performance and uneven in a lot of ways.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, you know, the president, not to sound partisan, I just thought it was a magnificent speech, and it's hard to top kind of the emotional power of the whole section about guns, don't you think?
Yeah, and I think that's one of the things that I like the most about the speech, and I think that a lot of Democrats and progressives will enjoy, is that, you know, this was the first speech where I felt like the president said, okay, you know what, I've tried the bipartisan route for so many years and it hasn't gotten me anything. I'm going to go over the heads of the pundits, over the heads of the media, even the members of Congress, and I'm going to speak right to the American people, and I'm going to reinforce the view of the American people that, yes, Congress are a bunch of know-nothings, that the American people have an approval rating of Congress that is, you know, record low. And the president tapped into that. And at times he was sort of mocking members of Congress and doing ribbon-cutting ceremonies. And it seemed like the president was a reasonable person in the room last night. But just give a vote. Give a vote on gun control, all these issues. And that's a very reasonable position. And I think, again, it's something to the corner. And I thought, you know, it was a remarkable strategy by the president. I think a very effective one as well.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely right, and you're right. I that's what makes me the craziest, this punditry about, you know, oh, this was just a liberal laundry list and blah blah blah. It's like, no, all of the issues he talked about, the American people are largely on his side, and you know, there's the face of John Boehner just like right behind him, going, you know, no, we're not going to do any of that. Yeah, even though it literally is what he ran on, what he won on, right?
Yeah, I mean, the president, you know, elections have consequences. The president won. At a certain point, Republicans have got to sort of acknowledge that, okay, the American people have spoken, and they can pick their battles here and there. But, you know, again, something like gun control, when you have the families of the victims that are in the room. And, you know, Republicans think that this is politics. Well, I would say that when Congressman Steve Stockman from Texas brought that nut job, Ted Nugent, into the chamber, Ted Nugent, who had called the president a piece of rhymes with spit,
yeah.
Well, that's about as, you know, coarse as it gets. And if Republicans felt that the president bringing victims of gun violence was somehow political, then how come more of them are not speaking out about Ted Nugent having that sort of honored invitation to go into the State of the Union? So, I mean, look, this is a political event, and I think, you know, everybody's welcome to bring whoever they want. And I thought it was a smart move by the president to bring the real victims of gun violence into the chamber, look at the members of Congress and say, hey, here are the victims. These people deserve a vote, and I don't know how anybody can deny that.
Yeah, I would say that versus Ted Nugent, the president won that debate last night. I mean, I've heard people say that, you know, in some ways politically you go, well, good, make Ted Nugent the face of your party then, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, there's some political benefit to Democrats, but I also believe that there should be a certain, decorum, and I think when members of Congress are going the Ted Nugent path and being so extreme, I think it just sort of diminishes the process. And at a certain point, you know, we all have to be able to have vigorous debates without the sort of name calling. And I think that's where, you know, Republicans have gone off the deep end, that they can't seem to have a debate on the facts or the science. Or, you know, I challenge any of the Republicans to be able to disagree with anything the president said last night about climate change. And, but because Republicans, you know, can't have a debate about facts and science, they have to go to the name calling. And I think that's where, you know, American people are finally realizing that, you know, even if you have conservative points of view, you still want accurate information about the world around you. And I think that's why the Republican Party and conservative media continue to suffer.
Well, imagine how much water Marco Rubio will need if global warming continues. I mean, just that thought alone boggles the mind. You know, but I thought, you know, you're absolutely right. I just the Ted Nugent thing alone, you think, you know, this literally, can you imagine all the screams, David, of liberal media? Can you even imagine if what Fox News would have done, for instance, if someone had invited someone like a left-wing equivalent to that, to a George Bush speech, someone who literally had threatened his life?
Yeah, I mean, they would have gone absolutely crazy. And I think they, you know, look, I think people are justified in being really angry. And it just, but it gets to the hypocrisy that for whatever reason, I think Democrats tend to be a little more tolerant of fellow human beings in general. So as a result, Democrats are a little more tolerant of, okay, we may disagree with Ted Nugent. We think that he's a nut job, but, you know, he's got a First Amendment right to say what he wants. And if a member of Congress really wants to bring him in there, so be it. And we may complain about the decorum, but, you know, that's it. Whereas Republicans, they would probably threaten the guy's life if somebody had threatened their president. And it's, you know, that's how it goes.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you think last night will change the results, you know, or change the debate about guns at all?
I think it will. I mean, I think it puts an enormous amount of pressure. I sort of saw the gun stuff not only directed at Republicans, but also, I mean, a number of Democrats, in fact, led by Harry Reid, who I think would rather not bring up a vote on the assault weapons ban. And I think the president was able to move the needle last night and say, look, you know, if you're going to vote against something, that's fine, but at least be on the record. Tell the American people why you feel the way you do, and let's have a straight up or down vote. And I do think the chances of gun control are much better. If, in fact, they don't have to, you know, require the sixth seat actually have a vote in the Senate, but if they can get a straight up or down vote, I think assault weapon ban may passage. Same thing in the House. I mean, John Boehner has suggested he may not bring some of these proposals to the floor unless they have majority support. The assault weapons ban will not have majority support on the Republican side. But I think if the Democrats, if people support gun control, can simply get that up or down vote, they may find some success. And I think that's where it was smart for the president last night not to argue so much the merits, and then we've all talked about the merits of gun control and whatnot, but simply to say, hey, the process needs to allow the American people to see their members of Congress on record on this issue.
Yep, absolutely. David Schuster, thank you for calling me from the train bathroom to have this very incredible private.
I will quote from anywhere, my friend.
Oh. This very private poster, you know, Valentine's Day conversation. I appreciate it.
Take care, Steph.
Love you, David Schuster. Bye, honey.
Aww.
Hump Days with Sexy Liberal Hal Sparks next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's The Stephanie Miller Show.
After the hour. I'm nervous. I'm always nervous on Wednesdays. Oh, because, you know, it gets hot in here.
Steffi.
Oh, what's that heavy breathing I hear? Why? Couldn't it be? Yeah. Glug. Hump Days with Hal Sparks. Oh.
Yes!
Is there enough water in the world?
I'm parched. I can't.
You said the funniest thing. It wasn't just the drinking. You said it looks like he was shoplifting.
Shoplifting. Yeah, it looked like it was someone else's water.
He was caught on, like,
you
a security
I mean?
Camera.
Yeah, and he has this look like somebody in an old 1940s escaping from prison movie. Like, the spotlight goes,
right.
Chunk,
right.
On him, right?
Deer in the headlights.
Like, he's going to run
away,
running back and forth, like, let's get out of here.
And then I said he looks like that scared squirrel.
Yeah, right.
And all the pictures, what?
It was, interestingly enough, I mean, I think we've all learned a valuable lesson, which is joining a group of crusty old white men to vote against the Violence Against Women Act makes you just as dry and parched on the inside as they are on the outside.
Yes. Yeah. Right.
He's got Chuck Grassley's skin growing inside his throat.
Just put out the fire in your soul.
Yeah.
Glug, glug.
I can't. I'm going, I don't know why. Some
eyes, they burn.
Yeah, somewhere there's a witch's coven going, I'll show you Violence Against Women Act.
I find your lack of faith disturbing.
What? What?
All right. What?
What?
Speaking of what, the hot, sexy liberals.
Yes.
Hi.
How are you?
Get Chris. Used to it. Chris is coming to Chicago, Sexy Liberal. Staff, family, and our huge fans of the show. This year is our son's 12th birthday. We'll be bringing him to the Sexy Liberal show April 13th.
Wow!
All right, it's a little on the...
Okay. Won't be as sexy.
We'll just tone down the teabagging.
We'll have to, yeah, a little bit.
Okay.
You know, we'll hold up a big, a sheet in front of it, and kind of it'll just
right.
be a silhouette.
Yeah, yeah.
Like an old
Indonesian puppet
puppets,
show. Yeah.
Indonesian puppet show, yeah.
He loves your show. Listen to it every morning on the way to school. He's been a big fan since he was 8. He keeps wanting to call in and talk to you about various issues as he's turned into a one-man liberal agenda maker at his Montessori school, converting a bunch of the kids there from Republicans to Democrats.
Wow.
Good job! Good boy!
All right.
We unfortunately were unable to get VIP tickets. Sorry, those are long gone. Blah, blah, blah. But it will be on the main floor if you could give him a shout-out for his birthday. Happy birthday, Alex!
Happy birthday,
Alex! Can't wait to
Alex.
See you! It'll be the highlight of his young life. Chris, the comic book digital colorist and writer of the Stephanie Miller Show, who will be there. Hurry! Tickets
so
flying
we,
out the window
yeah.
for April 13th at the Chicago Theater.
Or out the door, even.
Right.
Sure. I guess it was the ticket window.
Right.
Since we're calling up old 40s, you know, images all morning. Like, Marco Rubio escaping from prison. And hello?
Richmond 549.
Pennsylvania 65.
Al Sparks, he could just use a little, I don't know, something media coaching. We were saying, for instance, why put the water so far away? A little forethought.
Again, I don't think it was his. I think
he stole it.
Or it was on the little makeup short table that they were using. Right.
It was the gaffers.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And
is anyone going to?
What they edited out was the guy going, "Hey,
hey, hey,
yeah, my water! Don't backwash in my water."
You can keep it now.
Yeah. It's going to be hard for the next Republican who has to do the Republican, it's not even a rebuttal, it's just a denial of the State of the Union. I don't know what they're supposed to do next. After Michelle Bachmann and then after Marco Rubio, the bar has been raised so high now. What? They will have to break wind.
And Rand Paul.
They will have to break wind on the air.
Yeah.
Like,
breaking news.
Here is Rand Paul.
We're the party that adheres to the Constitution. And so we won't let the liberals tread on the Second Amendment.
Oh,
we will fight to defend the entire Bill of Rights, from the right to trial by jury to the right to be free from unlawful searches. We will stand up against excessive government power wherever we see it. We cannot and will not allow any president to act as if he were a king.
We will make sure that if you have a gun, you are part of a well-regulated militia. And that if you hold a gun, you are actually only doing it to guarantee the security of the state. There is nothing in the Second Amendment that says you can use the Second Amendment to be a free person. The only reason the Second Amendment is there is to protect the security of the state. So go pound sand. That's right. If you believe in the Second Amendment, you believe in the government's ability to transcribe you into service to protect the state. And that doesn't mean state of Arkansas. That means the governmental state. Hello, communism.
And what was with that backdrop? They have no media consultants of any kind. They both look like high school productions or something.
They kind of were.
Right.
And, yeah.
Did you notice that Marco Rubio lurched to the left to get the water?
Interesting.
They were saying that was his only move to the left in the entire speech.
Yeah, let's just see what we're saying. All right. The president last night, State of the Union. President,
we know our economy is stronger when we reward an honest day's work with honest wages. But today, a full-time worker making the minimum wage earns $14,500 a year, even with the tax relief we put in place. A family with two kids that earns the minimum wage still lives below the poverty line. That's wrong. That's why, since the last time this Congress raised the minimum wage, 19 states have chosen to bump theirs even higher. Tonight, let's declare that in the wealthiest nation on earth, no one who works full-time should have to live in poverty, and raise the federal minimum wage to $9 an hour.
$9? That's outrageous. Okay. I won't pay it.
If you raise that, then it'll be hard on businesses because they'll have to pay more for their employees. Of course, every other employee in the country will also have a baseline raised, and that'll, of course, raise the amount of money they can spend at that business.
And then
but
the employees
still
might be able to actually afford the products that you make.
I don't sell to Americans.
That'd be bad for everybody.
Suckers.
I hate Americans. I want Americans
chumps
to work for me for no benefits and a very low wage, but I don't want to sell. I want to sell to foreigners, like a guy driving people from the airport to their hotel and overcharging them. That's my business plan.
So, Hal Sparks, what did you think in general of the president's speech?
I thought it was terrific, and I think it was. You can measure how great it was by the weird, shuddering, stammering nonsense that came out of Eric Cantor and Boehner and all this. The president hasn't provided any sort of a plan except for the, of course, written bills that have been sitting there anonymously blocked. Of course, he's got no ideas. He's just presenting ideas, and he won't lead on any issue.
I think, honestly, that's why the punditry drives me crazy, because the president, it is a pretty high bar. I mean, he is a great speaker. It's just like clockwork. You know, people are going to go, oh, you know, Joe Scarborough's, I missed opportunities, and
The president's not leading too much, not enough.
Right. And then some people, literally, there were too many ideas in there.
Too many ideas.
Too many ideas.
Not
he's
enough.
Leading too much. He's not leading enough.
There's not enough too
many
ideas.
There's no ideas.
Well, I mean, But that's the plan. It's got, you know, this morning on CNN, they had somebody, they had like kind of, you know, two sides of what did you think of certain point of the president's speech? And they had the two black gentlemen. One was a strategist or for Politico, who was Democratic strategist, somebody like, and then another guy was the guy who used to help George Bush, who's a little.
Ron Christie.
Yes. Oh. And,
vision for America.
I couldn't quite remember
his name. He's got a vision.
Gladly the cross-eyed
bear. Pundit. He yes. has a clear vision for America.
And both of them were, both sides of the issue was, I thought the president missed the mark. And I'm like, well, how is that A, both sides of the issue?
Yeah.
and both of them seem to agree, and both of them were wrong. One of the points that the guy, I guess, from either the Daily Beast or Politico made was, the president's going to raise the minimum wage. How is he going to pay for it? How do you pay for it? Like, it's not a tax raise, moron. That's businesses pay that wage.
Right.
It's an establishment. You don't take a tax to raise. The government doesn't make up for the difference in what you're paying for the. What? That is the dumbest thing
I've got to watch one of these things
ever
with,
heard.
Yeah.
Because just the Mystery Science Theater of yelling at the TV together.
He needs to be a part of your quadruple.
No.
Yeah.
What?
That was absurd. How if you're going to raise the minimum wage, Mr. President, how are you going to pay for it? What?
Will you come snuggle
what
with me?
What are you
talking snuggle
about?
With me Sunday morning to meet the press. Because last week.
I can't do it because David Gregory needs a mustache. And it drives me crazy. Like
he, right. Because he has a lot of real estate between his lip and his nose.
And it doesn't have to be a full kind of, dude
from
Anarchy.
But he asked Dick Durbin. He literally said, should the president withdraw Chuck Hagel's nomination?
No.
Don't you think he should start over? What? No.
He just went through committee. What are you talking about? Yes, he should remove anybody that Jim Inhofe doesn't like.
Right.
That's essentially what it is.
Oh, here's what Jim Inhofe... Hagel was endorsed by Iran,
Cruz both said that yesterday.
Yeah, Senator Bill Nelson called out Cruz for insinuating that Hagel may have given speeches or received money from radical or extreme groups.
Uh-oh.
I want to make one observation, Inhofe interjected. I think I wrote down the word Senator Nelson was criticizing our senator there for implying that Chuck Hagel was cozy with the terrorist-type countries referring to Iran. I'd say he's endorsed by them. You can't get any cozier than that. Really? He's a Republican, Chuck Hagel. I mean, it just, and yet the president's not doing enough bipartisan outreach.
He doesn't, you know, Chuck Hagel is, unfortunately, does not believe in carpet bombing as a solution to a diplomatic problem.
Right.
Because he was in Vietnam.
And Cruz and Inhofe both do, because they're big Christians, apparently. And so they believe that the abject murder,
is wrong somehow?
All drone striking, single target aside, they believe in wiping out miles and miles of city blocks to get...
On the off chance someone bad
four,
might be there.
Yeah, that four people they disagree with are there, while the other people who are just trying to work at a shoe shop until this whole nonsense passes, they get wiped out in the process.
Yes, Chuck and Tom Hagel in Vietnam said that My Lai was the tip of the iceberg. There was a My Lai every month in Vietnam.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, they talked about one guy who just shot up an orphanage with a 50-caliber machine gun.
Right.
Colonel went all right.
So
a Senate panel approved him yesterday. What the hell is referring to. Harry Reid said he would move ahead with a full Senate vote despite Republican complaints. He was jamming it through. So Republican Senator Jim Inhofe insisting any confirmation be based on 60 votes rather than a majority of the Senate. Several Republicans have said that would be an unprecedented effort. I mean, when John McCain points that out, you know, I mean, seriously.
Huh?
Exactly. Huh? Senator Carl Levin said their demands are beyond the scope of what has been asked traditionally of former nominees, a point echoed by John McCain.
Did I or didn't I? What day is it? Who am I for and against? Who am I mad at this week so that I can choose my position based on who I have a personal grudge against?
McCain actually said Senator Hagel is an honorable man. No one on this committee should impugn his character or integrity. I mean, they basically were accusing him of lying or hiding stuff.
Of colluding with Iran against the interests of the American people.
Yes.
I mean, Dick Cheney went I guess it was a Fox interview. He can't go anywhere else without being arrested. So, but he was... You know, his big thing was that the president's choices, including Hagel, are a specific strategy to endanger the American people and undermine our defense.
Right.
Like that's
sure.
it's doing it
and
on purpose.
And he can talk because he served so patriotically in Vietnam, and Chuck Hagel didn't.
But Southern Bell. No terrorist things happened on Cheney's watch, though. So
yeah, nothing, absolutely nothing,
nothing no, bad no, happened, no, and no wars of choice. We made sure that our soldiers had everything they needed when they went to
and
war.
He made
under
sure
Cheney.
There was a thorough investigation.
Exactly, and every piece of evidence they used to start the war has turned out to be true. So in, in Dick Cheney's defense. I'm sorry.
Welcome to Upside Down World.
Snark.
I'm sorry. I was thinking with my Marco Rubio brain, and I just reverse everything I know to be true and say it.
Yeah, it's
Southern
you...
Belle Lindsey Graham has said he will block the nomination of Chuck Hagel.
Stars.
If he doesn't get more answers on Benghazi. I'm insisting that the president answer what he did that night.
I need more answers on Ben Gazzara.
Yeah, right. Does Lindsey Graham think that Benghazi is the guy he met at that bar the other night?
Oh,
was
what are you saying, Hal?
19 minutes after the hour, we continue.
Ben who? Benghazi. Nice to meet you, Benghazi.
Who you are, the kind
here
of
Ghazi. Here is my card. I'm a senator. What do you think of it?
What do you think of that?
18 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
She was abandoned by wolves and raised by Republicans. It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
They call me hell. They call me
Steffi.
They call me hell. They call me
Stephanie Miller.
That's not my name.
Right, whoever posted that, John Boehner is Grumpy Cat. He stole Grumpy Cat's look. All right, 24 minutes after the hour. Grumpy Cat, don't be so grumpy.
Sorry, I gotta get up.
The president last night at the State of the Union.
Most of us agree that a plan to reduce the deficit must be part of our agenda. But let's be clear. Deficit reduction alone is not an economic plan. A growing economy that creates good middle-class jobs, that must be the North Star that guides our efforts.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thinks he's so smart.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, looky here. It's yet another poll. ABC Washington Post poll. Obama's agenda viewed more favorably than congressional GOP. Uh-huh. They're why we count nice things, Hal.
In all fairness, though, he actually has one.
That's true.
Yeah. Right. So, I mean, an agenda also, even agenda's not... You know, cut it. You can't cut your deficit and just have that be your economic plan. You can also not just deny whatever the president is and call it leadership.
Right. Yeah.
You can't just block bills, have no
That should be our slogan in the next when's the next cycle. Mm-hmm. Republicans, they're why we can't have nice things.
Sure. Right. That would work.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, you mean like bridges that don't collapse
right.
under you?
Yeah.
While
yeah.
You're
bridges
trying to get
that
to work.
Right. Rose in New Mexico, you're on with Hal. Hi, Rose.
Hi, Ro. Hi there. How are you?
Hiya.
Hello.
Hello.
Here I am. Okay. I have a math question for you.
All right.
92% of the American people want effective gun control legislation.
Yeah.
What's Congress's approval rating?
Less than
8%.
Right above
committee.
Oh, interesting. Right above committee.
Wow.
So 8% of people who think it's okay to have guns and use them recklessly, those are the people that are supporting Congress.
Wow. Thank you. You are the smartest girl in class today. You're good at math. Math is hard. For
math
girls,
is a liberal bias.
As Barbie tells us.
That's true.
By the way, here's another
especially
math
when
fact.
They deal with temperatures.
Yes.
80% of firearms used in crimes are purchased privately, meaning they did not have to go through a background check. Powerful stuff, the president's gun stuff, right?
With, if you want to know how most guns that are used in crimes are purchased, go rent taxi driver. Buy taxi driver, whatever, and watch the scene where he buys guns out of a suitcase from a guy who is driving around with them in the trunk of his car.
Yeah.
And
you talking
that,
to me?
Yeah. That guy has...
Yes, sure. I'm looking at you.
There are gangs all over this country that they have four or five people in the gang who don't commit any crimes. That's actually their job. They are they keep their nose clean so they can go buy guns in other states.
Wow.
They'll pass a background check. They could even wait for it. But they specifically buy from private owners or at gun shows, shuffle them all in, bring them up. They're used in a crime, and then they dump them in the lake.
Wow.
And that's been a common practice for a long time, but it's the gun show loophole and the private sale loophole that makes it super easy for them. It greases the wheels. They can get a gun in less than 20 minutes that they can use in a crime and dump.
Yep. Rebecca in Asheville. Hey, Rebecca, welcome.
Hey, Stephanie. Hi. I'm a huge fan of your show.
Thank
and
you.
I just wanted to point out that while I was watching Marco Rubio's speech last night, I mean, I thought the entire thing was nauseating to different degrees, but my personal favorite part was at the end when he was waxing all romantic about the poor single mothers dreaming about better lives for their children and dads not around and so on and so forth. As both a domestic violence survivor and a single mom, knowing that he had just voted against the Violence Against
right.
Women Act
yeah.
the same wow. day that he was saying all that, it just really, like, that was the part where I threw up in my lap.
Yeah. Name of the bill. Really? You're against?
Yeah.
Well, by the yes. way, they are actually against it. The only difference between this version and the old version is that it now pertains to the LGBT community.
Right.
And
undocumented immigrants, Native American
right.
women. So the bill now has to the House, where GOP leaders are resisting some of the provisions because there's entirely too much protection
sure.
for women in there. They want to add some bitches have it coming amendments and things like
well,
that.
Well, they think that also that two men together, if one of them beats the other one up, that there shouldn't be domestic violence protection for that guy. That's one of their big holdouts.
Somebody
bigotry.
Please send me a picture of Marco Rubio with the scared squirrel in the frame, please,
yeah.
so we can post it on my Facebook page.
Yeah.
29 minutes after the hour, right back. Hump Days with Hal on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
You have so many unsolvable problems, like your mouth. Looks like somebody kicked a hole in a bag of flour.
Story of my life.
It wow. is the Stephanie Miller Show. 34 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12. Robin writes, Rubio proves you can swallow and choke at the same time.
Yay!
Oh, wow.
That is completely unfair to a member of the GOP. I listened to the president's entire speech, and I did not hear a single new idea except the awful ones. And I also didn't hear him lead on anything except places where he's trying to shove things down our throats. Excuse me, I need a sip of water, too.
So I was saying the big story, not the State of the Union yesterday or the cop killer manhunt, but Banana Joe. A black face, a black dog with a monkey-like face became
That's
the
right.
first Affenpinscher to win Best in Show.
That's an ape terrier.
Right.
German.
Best in Show at Westminster yesterday.
And
did you see
face.
How cute he is?
He's very cute.
And yeah. apparently has a big schwanz.
He has an enormous... He is all... As I mentioned earlier, he's a tiny little dog. Okay, the New York
the
Times
Lord
story...
The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Sometimes he just keeps on giving.
Just picture...
Gets distracted, goes get the tea, left the teapot
saying,
on
all,
while he was putting the magic wank making sauce on you
all right, okay.
to build
oh,
you,
hell.
And then you run to the
wank making. All right.
And then
can
you,
I just say the New York
I left
Times?
The iron on, and then you run over there, and you come back, and it's this tiny dog with this giant thing.
They
like,
really should have said a picture of his face.
Yeah, that would have been
the New York Times story reads like something out of Best in Show.
Oh no,
Banana Joe.
The judge, Michael Doherty, said he's a fantastic Affenpinscher with a fantastic face, a great body. I've never had my hands on a better Affenpinscher ever.
Wow.
He has the muscle tone of a big dog.
Mm.
And I'll tell you why I can't put up with you people, because you're bastard people.
He went on to say, 7 fantastic dogs presented in the most immaculate manner.
Mm.
And he's just never had his hands on a better Affenpincher.
Think of
Get
the
your
day.
Hands off my Affenpincher.
I can't wait till we're having shows about children this way, when we
yeah.
are genetically modifying our kids for a few generations, you know, and you take what used to be 5 wolf-like dogs that we have crowbarred into Chihuahuas and St. Bernards
yeah.
and all kinds of, you know, where is the Republican Party when man wants to play God with canines? Because there's no way basset hounds would survive in the wild.
Right.
I'm just saying.
Right.
There's thundering herds of basset hounds. Never happened.
They would step on their own
ears and die.
Yes.
Just pterodactyl bait.
My favorite thing
Island
is...
of Dr. Maroof.
Yeah.
I was just going to say, my favorite thing was when Carlos said that Ann Coulter looks like something they should have left on if they left on the island.
Dr. Maroof.
Leave her! She's too bitey!
I think she's got more of a Morlock thing going on. You know what I mean? Yeah.
All right. The president last night.
We can't ask senior citizens and working families to shoulder the entire burden of deficit reduction while asking nothing more from the wealthiest and the most powerful. We won't grow the middle class simply by shifting the cost of health care or college onto families that are already struggling, or by forcing communities to lay off more teachers and more cops and more firefighters. Most Americans, Democrats, Republicans, and independents, understand that we can't just cut our way to prosperity. They know that broad-based economic growth requires a balanced approach to deficit reduction, with spending cuts and revenue, and with everybody doing their fair share. And that's the approach I offer tonight.
Theta in Detroit, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Theta.
Oh, hi. I love you guys, and I'm in love with Jim Ward, of course. He has the silkiest hair. And his is so silver, and mine is so gray, but oh well. Mm. And hi to Chris, too. And
hey,
what I called for is to give you, Stephanie, the long-suffering TV host award.
Thank you.
Because I can't believe how the gun people have been hazing you.
Yes. Yep. Yes. Yeah, did you hear the guy today? Did you hear the guy today that was mocking the green ribbons?
I know. Yes. He says they have a green and white ribbon.
Yeah, because
like,
right. He said the real victims are the gun owners in America.
The gun owners.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, when I walk into a room where everybody's strapped, I'm sure I'm going to be like, okay, good guy. No, bad guy. Over there is a good guy. Oh, here's a bad guy turning good.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
I'm
going to
go
just,
for cover.
Yeah, we just had a little story out here in L.A. about a good guy with a gun that turned into a bad guy with a gun.
Yeah.
What do you do about that?
A bad guy with a lot of guns, actually.
Yeah.
That's the issue. I mean, they were saying there were a lot of people at the SoDo last night that were affected by gun violence. And I think you should include Ted Nugent in that, even though he was affected positively by it. He actually has benefited. His TVQ has gone up, and he's been interviewed by CNN because of Newtown. I mean, that's really, I mean...
The only thing that makes me happy is there's a picture, and he got the crappiest seat ever. He's like, like he's at the like top balcony in the back of a Best Western ballroom or something.
To his credit, he did not stand up in tights with a tiny little foxtail attached to his butt and go, wang dang doodly doo, bing a bow, bing a bing a bow, at any point during...
That passes for decorum. And he didn't poop his pants like he did to get out of Vietnam.
Yeah, right.
I was hoping the Secret Service would wheel him in like Dr. Lecter with the mask on.
Okay, Ted, control yourself.
They would if it was actually a threat.
Yeah.
But he's not.
Yeah.
And that's his biggest problem.
He's a big wuss.
He used to be a big threat. Rock and roll kind of bad boy. What is it? He married his cousin he was
little
sleeping
sister.
With because incest is a less of a charge than statutory rape. So
something like that.
Something along those
lines.
I mean,
he adopted a teenage girl in order to... Never mind.
Yeah, he adopted
her
so he could marry her or something.
Robert in Tennessee.
Anyways, yeah.
Hello, Robert.
We'll look it up.
Google it.
How are you doing this morning?
Good. Go ahead.
Okay. I just wanted to talk a little bit about gun control. If we're going to take guns away from the civilians, we should take guns away from the police.
Huh?
That said, the root of gun violence is rooted in a failed drug war. If you go,
wait a minute. You don't want the police to have guns, is what you're saying?
Not if the civilians don't have weapons.
Ah. So how?
So you think you're going to have to kill a cop at some point in your life?
No, not at all.
You're fairly certain that if you have to open fire on someone, it's going to be a police officer.
Negative. I believe in gun control. I think that if I can't have weapons, neither should the police.
Well, but
in England, bobbies don't have weapons.
That seems like a mature argument.
I will actually agree with him on the low-level constable level that at a certain point, if we had harsh, strict gun laws that actually were reflective of the actual type of violence we have in this country, which is almost all gun-related, then beat cops and traffic cops wouldn't necessarily have to carry weapons, and you would have SWAT teams and stuff for major cases or whatever. If we get to that point, super.
But...
I don't think we're
going
to get there anytime.
Chris,
tell cops in Arizona that.
Yes. All right, I have some Ted Nugent updates for you.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
In 1978, Nugent began a relationship with 17-year-old Hawaii native Pele Masa. Due to the age difference, they could not marry, so Nugent joined Masa's parents in signing documents to make himself her legal guardian, an arrangement that Spin magazine ranked as number 63 on their list of 100 sleaziest moments in rock.
And, yes.
Awesome. Okay, the president last night.
Stockman brought him to the SoDo.
Yes.
The greatest nation on earth cannot keep conducting its business by drifting from one manufactured crisis to the next.
Yes, that was awesome.
We can't do it. Let's agree. Let's agree right here, right now, to keep the people's government open and pay our bills on time and always uphold the full faith and credit of the United States of America.
What a novel idea.
Yeah.
By the way, this picture of Ted Nugent, there's a guy next to him with his head down. I'm not sure if he's asleep or Ted shot him. But I'm a little alarmed by this picture now that I'm looking at it.
No one is really in danger of being shot by Ted Nugent.
Bill
it is
and,
a lot of wagging
maybe a crossbow.
About.
Maybe,
yeah,
okay.
Right.
Bill in Florida. Hi, Bill.
Good morning, Stephanie.
Good
How
morning.
Are you?
Good. Go ahead.
Well, I could say, first off, that I have an older brother who voted for your father. So that's what I've been up
wow.
against all my life.
Wow. All right.
But what I wanted to say was Bomber last night, well, Boner is what you call him.
Boehner.
Yes. I was disgusted with him, absolutely disgusted with him. I don't know what district he's from, but...
he was drunk. In his defense, he was drunk on bourbon and Coke, if you were watching him drink.
That must be nice. That must be nice.
Yes.
What I was going to say is I want 100 lesbian moms to write to Boehner and to threaten him that they will, pull a Grover Normquist on him, where he will not get reelected the next time. I don't know whether he comes up in 2014 or not. I don't know when he comes up
right.
yet. But they would.
I don't know when the Boehner pops up. You never know.
House members get reelected every 2 years.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. So it would be 2014?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So they would descend on Ohio, where whatever district he's from.
Yes. I think it's Cincinnati. Isn't he in?
Yeah, down there.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Just threatened to keep him out of office again.
Yep, yep. You need some good lesbians to keep a Boehner down.
An army.
What
of
was that?
Well,
100 lesbians?
I don't really know.
100 lesbian moms.
Go with him.
Yeah.
Something.
All right.
All right. The president last
You're
going
to need more
I
than
urge
that.
I urge this Congress to get together, pursue a bipartisan, market-based solution to climate change.
What?
Like the one John McCain and Joe Lieberman worked on together
Uh-oh.
A few years ago.
Oh, shut up. Shut the policy.
But
shut the policy.
If Congress won't act soon to protect future generations, I will. I will direct my cabinet to come up with executive actions we can take now and in the future to reduce pollution, prepare our communities for the consequences of climate change, and speed the transition to more sustainable sources of energy.
You know what I said earlier? You know what I said earlier
John,
is that
keep it down.
Since the Republicans don't believe in climate change, the good news is Marco Rubio can be president of Waterworld.
Uh-huh.
See?
Right.
Because water
Are
everywhere.
Are you suggesting that wasn't
him.
A bottle of Poland Springs, that it was his own filtered urine?
I'm not suggesting any such thing, Al Sparks.
Way to work an early 90s
warming.
Movie reference in.
Global warming is clearly
Never mind the fact that I'm growing gills as we speak.
Here is the state of our children.
All right, 45 minutes. It is ugly. Ugly.
Ugly. Ugly.
Billy West?
All right, 45 minutes after the hour. Back at the remaining moments of Hump Days with Hal Sparks on the Stephanie Miller Show.
She puts the broad back in broadcasting. It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
I love disco. I hear it's making a comeback.
I propose working with states to make high-quality preschool available to every single child in America. Every dollar we invest in high-quality early childhood education can save more than $7 later on by boosting graduation rates, reducing teen pregnancy, even reducing violent crime.
What? No! We need kids to stay dumb enough to vote for Republicans when they grow up. That's
mm-hmm.
a ridiculous idea.
Look, there is no correlation between the federal government helping anybody get an education and them getting further along in life than they would have... that's not true. Paul Ryan actually got Social Security benefits
right.
and used it to go
yeah,
to
exactly.
Oops.
So did Marco Rubio.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
Yeah.
By the way, what
My
you
bad.
Need to do is, it's all about money for the Republicans. Here's some fun facts. A path to citizenship will lead to economic growth, Common conservative myth characterizes immigrants as takers. Immigrants are essential to strengthening the economy, are no more likely to participate in social programs than the native-born. Legalizing undocumented immigrants would raise the nation's GDP $1.5 trillion in the next decade, raise wages for everybody, and lead to between $4.5 and $5.4 billion in increased tax revenue.
Yep.
And here's another fun fact. Extreme weather fueled by climate change will cost the U.S. trillions. Trillions.
Huh.
Just saying. If you know.
But keep in mind, rich people buy the houses that are on the hill for a reason. And without major storms, who's going to wipe away all the poor people's houses and give you a better view of the sea?
Right.
Secondly, yes, it will increase taxes and the GDP of the country, but it will do it by inviting more brown people into the country.
Hal Sparks,
clearly,
as you know,
a problem.
Believes in science. If you are lucky enough to see him do his T-Rex bit. Oh, say a sexy liberal in Chicago, April 13th at the Chicago Theater. But
who here, by the way, built a 3D printer? Raise your hand if you're in the room.
You did?
And you built
Hal
a 3D
Sparks
printer
did?
By hand.
With popsicle sticks and string. And
I actually built a printer bot, which is one of the kind of self-made ones. There's one you can buy completely built already, but then there are also kits you can build in the dining room.
Did you call it the HAL 9000?
I did. It would be the 9000.1 beta.
Which is why I always save science stack for you.
Thank you.
Please
for instance,
Dave.
Did you know that these
yes.
the sea slug discards its penis after sex and grows another one?
Ah, yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
I didn't really
who
need
doesn't
to
know
that.
Yeah. And apparently female sea snakes are against high-capacity magazines.
Here are some more fun facts. The sea slug, let's see, each slug has both a penis and a vagina.
Oh, well, that's
right?
Convenient.
And when mating, both members of a couple insert their into the other's.
Wow.
At the same time.
Well, to be fair, they call that space docking.
So you can't really tell a sea slug to go bleep himself.
After copulating for about 10 minutes, impressive, each slug discards its penis immediately and begins growing a new one, which is ready for use within 24 hours.
Wow.
And you complain because I need a nap. 24 hours versus 15 minutes.
Just wait. I'll have a whole new one.
That'd be bad for gun shows and monster truck rallies.
What if each one got smaller after each, you know,
like
the first
one Russian
count.
Dolls.
Yeah, right. Yeah. You get a new one tomorrow. The bad the good news
big.
Is you get a whole new penis tomorrow. The bad news is it'll be a two-thirds the size. That's true every time. Wah, wah. Oh, the Lord take it. Probably gave it to a Affenpinscher.
Right, exactly. All right. The other... Obviously, the president had some historic words in his inaugural about gay rights. Did you? I didn't even know this. LGBT people can still be fired for being who they are in 29 states.
That's right.
Yeah.
Obama considering an executive order protecting LGBT employees with federal contractors and has called on Congress to pass the Employment Non-Discrimination Act.
I'm going to guess that the majority of those states, with the 29 states that you're talking about, have representatives who voted against the Violence Against Women Act. I'm going to say that they probably stack fairly high in that same crowd.
Probably.
Also, one of the states where that lower how much women make on the job versus the rest of the country. Because even though the mean is 77 cents on the dollar, that means in other places, in some places it's way lower, and in other places it's slightly higher. So the mean is lowered by the same states that
we pause right. now to salute France, who just passed a gay marriage.
Exactly.
I love when they both start talking like the candlesticks.
I never thought this would happen, you know.
France's lower house of parliament approved a sweeping bill to legalize gay marriage and allow same-sex couples to adopt children.
Wow.
Puts France on track to join about a dozen mostly European nations that allow... Right. They have bridges that work, and the gays can marry. France joins Britain, the Netherlands, Belgium, Norway, Spain, as well as Argentina, Canada, and South Africa, and nine states and the District of Columbia here in the United States.
Just quickly, there we go.
Are we doing Les Miserables? What are we doing
now? That's the French national
anthem. Oh, fine.
Marseillaise. Wow, you didn't recognize it? Wow.
Yes, I do. I thought you were. I thought he was going into a little Hugh Jackman there.
Yes. Well, it happens. It's only because I've got decent shoulder and upper body.
Right.
Chris from Yankton talked about our riffing on Lindsey Graham. What's it like to meet Lindsey in person? Somehow I imagine he smells like magnolias and secret shame. Poor Lindsey tries him out. Rhett Butler isn't ever going to invite him to the cotillion.
I just cannot get this off my trouser knee. This is a stain that will not go. Does anyone have any shame? Out.
Catherine in California. Hello, Catherine.
Good morning, Mama and the Mook.
Good morning.
I just wanted to say two things quickly. First of all, that was not Marco Rubio last night. That was Mitt Romney in drag. And I say he really did that. The other thing, talking about the disrespect, the thing I found was so telling at the very beginning, when they went on the Supreme Court, Alito, Scalia, and Thomas were not there.
Right. Hmm.
And I just thought that you talk about the disrespect.
Yep.
And between not standing up for the 102-year-old woman for her right to vote, or the violence against women, or the patriot. I mean, this.
Yeah, no, they're like, boo, yeah, boo, 102-year-old woman, you're sticking around, well, sucking off the government teat, die already.
And by the way, if you have any question about the fact that they didn't stand up as just a like a single point of disrespect, it is not. It is a strategy by the Republicans to limit the number of people voting that has been going on since the beginning of the Heritage Foundation, since the early 80s, since Paul Weyrich. If you want to look it up, Paul Weyrich, look up on YouTube. It was the guy, one of the founders of the Heritage Foundation, and he actually says, we want fewer people to vote. We do not want more people to vote. And it's a Tom Hartman plays that clip quite a bit, but it's very, very telling. And they've been playing that out as legislation ever since. It's not just a feeling they have. It's not as simple as their racism.
It's a strategy.
Yeah,
no, I mean, if more people were voting for Republicans, they sure as hell wouldn't want them having to stand in line for 6 hours.
Absolutely not. Yeah.
Exactly.
And that's why the numbers have gone down. It's always funny when they do a poll. It's, you know, 50 Republicans and 50 Democrats, and you look at the, they consider that an even poll.
Right.
It doesn't work out that way because there's only 70-30 now.
SexyLiberal.com, SexyLiberal on Facebook, Hal Sparks,
yes.
John Fugelsang, and I at the Chicago Theater April 13th for the big Midwestern show this year. Very, very exciting.
Very exciting.
Anything else?
Yeah, absolutely. HalSparks.com is back online. Thank you very much. And I'll be streaming my show this weekend from WCPT Radio in Chicago, or, of course,
our fabulous affiliate
there.
Affiliate.
Absolutely.
All right. Love you, Hal. See you tomorrow on The Stephanie Miller Show. Okay.